Yeah. Transcend to another level. Gotta push the drive, gotta push the pedal. Kinetic waves never settle. Transcend to another level. Transcend to another level. Gotta push the drive, gotta push the pedal. Kinetic waves never settle. Transcend to another level. It's feeling like the world is in a dying need. I'm feeling like the last of a dying breed. We in the last days, it feels like Armageddon. Prophetic with the false prophets is all I'm getting. This that God flow, you know I had to tighten up. People throwing shade, you really need to brighten up. Fuck a copyright, cause some of y'all don't copyright. Most of these flows blow like a sloppy wipe. You gotta be from the streets, dancer or athlete. Quick to pull the trigger, but you scared to get your ass beat. Before you know it, you'll probably end up with a rap sheet. Prison over lyricism is everlasting trap me. Yeah, I swear that some of y'all got Alzheimer's. Y'all fail to recognize when you see an all-timer. I've been reflecting since meritant on my pathfinder. Quick reminder, never side with a sidewinder.
Hello and welcome to the Rational Black Thought Podcast. I'm your host, Neo Griot, and this is episode number 164. It is November the 25th, 2023, and the title for the overall episode this week is Perseverance is in Our DNA, which is a quote from a black author, Ellie McKinney. So let's go ahead and jump to the agenda, and I'll tell you why I selected that for the episode title this week. But first up, I do want to let you know that this is going to be a shortened version of the podcast. I had a lot of things going on this week and just didn't get a chance to do a full script. So this is going to be a bit more ad-libbed, and also, to be honest with you, there was really nothing in the news that I wanted to talk about. So this week, I am going to only have the philosophy segment and then the closing segment. In the philosophy segment, I'm going to talk about what I'm calling the global doom loop. And that is why I selected that quote for the title this week, that perseverance is in our DNA, because that is what we really need to do to overcome the doom loop, both as individuals and also on a global basis. Then after that, like I said, no news, but then we'll have a closing segment that I am saying they call this justice, but it is not. So that's all we have on our agenda this week, but we'll take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about in the philosophy segment, the global doom loop. All right, welcome back. And for the philosophy segment and the global doom loop, the reason I wanted to talk about that this week is because I'm beginning to feel like that we are, in fact, in a global doom loop. And unless we find a way to stop it, it will lead to ultimate disaster, which for us would be the end of humanity. And that might sound hyperbolic, but look at where we are. Wars are rampant. The climate crisis is getting worse and worse. And fascism and authoritarianism is on the rise. Now, I think the concept of a doom loop can explain a lot of what we're going through right now. So let's start with a definition before we talk about potential solutions to the doom loop. So a doom loop is a negative belief cycle where a series of beliefs, actions, and reactions work to reinforce negative beliefs and unwanted behaviors. Now, from an article that I took that definition from, it states that Andrew Schott, chief knowledge officer and co-founder of stress management app Mecalibrium, describes it as a vicious cycle that focuses on the negative rather than the positive. Quote, people are prone to negative thinking and doom loops as part of their survival strategy, says Shate. Most of us have hard times when we wake up at 3 a.m. ruminating over the terrible things that could come our way. Very few of us have thoughts of unicorns and rainbows at that time of night, end quote. So in a doom loop scenario, an individual is in flight or flight state, which means that they will continue to interpret neutral or even good events as threats, continuing the spiral. For example, when people get a promotion, they may focus on the increased responsibility rather than the career plus. And with a raise, someone might grumble about more taxes. So a doom loop then is a reinforcing or self-reinforcing negative belief that causes an individual to interpret any event in their lives as negative and therefore respond and react as if that event is negative. In a global doom loop, entire populations are stuck in this cycle. For example, in my opinion, the popularity of Trump is for the most part caused by a number of people believing that they are losing their place in the world. And then after electing Trump, they did not see things get any better for them. And in fact, though, they still interpreted any good thing as bad, any of the good things that happened, they still described them as bad. But they ascribed anything that they perceived as positive to Trump and anything bad to the deep state. So even though their lives did not really change that much for the good or the worse, they decided that anything good in their lives was because of Trump and anything bad in their lives was because of Trump's enemies. Thus, when Trump demonstrably lost in 2020, the MAGA maggots interpreted that as an impossibility. And if that impossibility were true, it would mean the end of life as they knew it and as they desired it to be. So they fought to keep Trump in power. After that didn't work, they are now pushing to reinstate Trump, even though the magnitude of his failure is apparent to anyone willing to look. MAGA maggots are in a doom loop, but so are the rest of us. And I say the rest of us are in a doom loop because all of the good that has happened under the Biden administration is being discounted. All of the mistakes are being highlighted, and more people are saying that we would be better off under Trump. So what is a doom loop again? We start with a negative belief, as example with Biden, that Biden is too old or that he didn't do everything he promised or VP Harris isn't stepping up, etc. And then we interpret any events in the world as being Biden's fault. If gas goes up, it's because of Biden. But if it goes down, it's just a natural cycle. So we are repeating the narrative of the 2016 election, which was a doom loop. And that narrative, which was based on a doom loop, resulted in Trump being president. So I'm going to use an article titled, Do You Struggle with the Doom Loop? Written by Jim Sinikowski, PhD, to support this week's discussion. Quote, so many people never get to enjoy their lives, their successes, their excellence. Why? Because they live in with an inner gremlin that is addicted to the doom loop. And that gremlin gets terrified every time you stand out and go forward in your life. It doesn't matter whether that increased success occurs in school or at work or in romantic relationships or even losing weight and looking better and better. The doom loop knows that its days may be numbered and the only way to stay alive is to drag you back down into disappointing gloom. Know the feeling? If it doesn't readily come to mind, think about all the times that you or people that you know have responded to success by getting drunk, drugged, and are dragging themselves through the meanderings of a pity party about how they could have done better if they had only tried. Why? Because of the doom loop, your unconscious addiction to keeping yourself caught in the fear of being fabulous. That's was running the show. So after that bit of narrative in the article then provides some suggestions on how to get out of the doom loop. And there are six steps. Step number one is to watch for repetitive patterns of behavior that hold you back. Procrastination, self-doubt, refusal to share your success with others, unwillingness to ask for help, anything that blocks your rightful use of your excellence. So look at those patterns, those behaviors that you have where you deny your progress or your brilliance or your ability to progress. After you note all of those, step number two is to now ask yourself, who would I be if I stopped this self-defeating behavior? So if I stopped thinking, if I stopped procrastinating, if I stopped having self-doubt, if I started to embrace sharing my success with others rather than holding it to myself, if I became willing to ask for help, then what would your life look like then? What would it look like if you stopped those self-defeating behaviors? Then step number three is to come up with at least three reasons why you don't think you want to stop the self-defeating behavior and step into that identity, because there's always a reason. As an example, one of the reasons that it took me a while to attempt success was because of the belief that if I never tried, I never failed, so no one could really say that I failed. So I had to come to grips with that, step into that identity, and then overcome it before I started to take the calculated risks that were necessary for success. Step number four is that after that, then that is after you have noted why you don't want to give up self-defeating behavior, list the fears and doubts that fuel your refusal. What is it, the underlying fear that makes you want to procrastinate and not stop, that makes you not stop procrastinating? That is, what is that fear that keeps you in self-doubt and not willing to change? What is that fear that propels you to refuse to share your success with others? So list what the fear that is behind that refusal. And step number five is, next you can begin to see a bit of dopey logic going on here, stuff that you'd laugh at if a friend was arguing for why they were holding themselves back. And the author says it, of the article says, at least I hope so. And I hope so as well, because you can see the illogic of this doom loop narrative once you start to map it out and once you start to focus on exactly what's going on. And then the last step, number six, is then if you're ready, commit to taking one step outside of your comfort zone. And when the doom loop tries to condemn you or scare you, remember what you read and the other five steps that you went through, and just tell the doom loop to go bother somebody else and then move on with your life. Remind yourself that you are on your way to overcoming the fear of being your best self, and that's what really counts, and so you're going to do whatever is necessary to make that happen. So the key is to see your doom loops for what they are, false narratives that are holding you back, and collectively they are false narratives that hold us collectively back. It is this global doom loop that is driving the world towards isolationism and jingoism. We are rushing to a global war of ideology that will eventually lead to a physical global war, and in the nuclear age, that could mean the end of humanity. So we all have to step out of our comfort zones and give our truth to the world. We should not be shy about our plans for global peace, prosperity, and fairness. We want all humans to reach their potential, but to do that, we have to point out and remove the doom loops that are holding us back and also holding others back as well. We need to collectively work toward eliminating the doom loops and looking for prosperity in the future. All right, that is it for this week's segment of philosophy. We'll take a quick break. And as I said, no new segment this week. So when I come back, we'll close out the episode for this week. All right, welcome back. And as I said in the intro, we've skipped the news segment, so I'm just going to close it out this week with a segment that I'm calling, they call this Justice, But It Is Not. So last week's closing was about justice delayed by beyond what was reasonable. And this is a justice narrative that is not really justice at all. So this story comes from The Root, which is a Black news site. And it states this: sweet justice. Two white men are facing double trouble for breaking a Black man's jaw in an unprovoked racist attack. In addition to prison time, they are also ordered by a state judge to pay the victim over $1 million in damages. Maurice Diggins and his nephew Dusty Leo, both of Biddeford, Maine, were charged with conspiracy and committing a hate crime after attacking Damon McCollum in April 2018. McCollum was just stepping out to a 7-Eleven from celebrating a college scholarship for one of his three children when Thing 1 and Thing 2 scolded him with racial slurs. Per an Associated Press report, Diggins, who donned a white pride worldwide tattoo, taunted him and blocked the doorway of the store when suddenly old Dusty launched a punch toward McCollum's jaw. And read more from the Portland Press Herald. McCollum sued Leo and Duggins in civil court last fall, seeking damages to cover medical costs from the attack. His attorney, Allison Knowles, said that McCollum required extensive surgery and that he is still emotionally distressed. In handwritten answers to the complaint last year, Diggins and Leo opposed the charges and requested that the court wait for them to either find attorneys or be released before scheduling pretrial discovery deadlines. After a one-hour hearing on Thursday, Mulhern ordered them to pay $700,000 in punitive damages and $500,000 in compensatory damages. Diggins and Leo were not at the hearing. Knowles acknowledged that Diggins and Leo likely don't have the $1.2 million, but there are civil procedures for determining what assets the defendants have and what can be seized to make up for their payments. So the pair were handed their federal prison sentences in 2020. At the moment, Diggins is serving a 10-year sentence. However, his sidekick, who threw the sucker punch at McCollum, only received 3 years in federal prison and is expected to be released ahead of this past Thanksgiving. So I am really confounded because I'm not sure what about this case that The Root, which is a black website, thinks is justice. The perpetrators did not get that much time, and McCollum is not likely to get anything from the two dumb fucks that assaulted him. Because their trailer park trash asses are probably not likely to have anything for which to pay the 1.2. So it was good that the two were convicted and sent to prison. And it is good that Mr. McCollum won a judgment. It is better than nothing. But just because it's better than nothing doesn't make it justice. And it's not justice at all. All right. That is it for this week's overall episode. So if you have any feedback for the episode at all, just send an email to feedback@rationalblackthought.com. And I'd like to remind you, the intro music is Transcend by KIRK. The outro music is Ending by Makea Beats. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Amazon, and a bunch of other platforms. But if it's not on the platform where you typically listen to your podcast, send me an email to that feedback@rationalblackthought.com, and I'll be sure to have it added. Once it's there on your platform, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if it is a feature of your platform, leave me a 5-star review. And I leave you with these words from Frederick Douglass. If there is no struggle, there is no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom and yet depreciate agitation are men who want crops without plowing up the ground. They want the rain without the thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of its many waters. The struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one, and it may be both moral and physical, but it must be a struggle. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. Thanks for listening, everyone, and until next time, keep fighting for our right to be black and beautiful.